Oh my gosh, are y'all ready to go home? Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful worship service. Amen. Happy February. We are in the middle of a series called The Way, The Way. Hopefully you've been here for it. Maybe you're jumping in for the first time this morning. If you are, let us help you out. We are in the book of Mark. In the New Testament. So the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. We're going to start at the beginning, but we're going to be camping out right in the middle, chapter 7 and 8. If you don't have a Bible this morning, you can reach under your chair in front of you and pick one of those out. If you need to take one home, feel free to do that. If you're not sure where Mark is, go ahead and ask one of your neighbors to help you out, help you find that. If you're watching at home, go ahead and grab that. The book of Mark in the New Testament. This series, we've been asking the question, who is this man? Jesus. Who is this man? And we've answered it in a lot of different ways as we look through the life of Christ in the book of Mark. And what I'd like to ask you this morning is that if you're a Christ follower today, or maybe you're not, maybe you've just heard of Jesus, or maybe, you know, kind of experienced him in and out of your life in some point or another, what would you say your favorite thing about Jesus would be? Like just maybe one thing. What would be your favorite thing about Jesus? Yeah, you guys want, yes, I love that. Hey, I tell you what, instead of yelling it out loud, why don't you go ahead and share with, for about 30 seconds, just share with the person next to you, what is your favorite, what would you say your favorite thing about Jesus is? This isn't a quiz, okay? So you'd be all right. Just kind of answer that question with one another. And specifically, the way Jesus lived his life. You know, we start answering this question, who is this man? And maybe you've been following along on these cards and writing in your answers, or, you know, maybe you're in the study guide checking things out. These are all available for you to take home with you today. If you grab the bulletin, you can look at the sermon notes and, you know, some of the things that are happening and all revolving around this man, this God man that lived 2,000 years ago and still matters more than ever today in this room. Did you hear this? I mean, this buzzing that was going on. Man, we know who Jesus is. And we know the way he lived his life. So what a privilege it is to jump into the New Testament anytime we want to, and especially on Sunday mornings, to take a look at the life of Jesus and the way he lived. For me, personally, one of my favorite things about the way Jesus lived his life was that he was a man of compassion. A man of compassion. Now, if you know me, you're going, well, of course, you know, Joe, you know, Mr. Mercy Spirit, you know, he's always, you know, kind of thinking about people and all that kind of thing. That's true, but that's also true about Jesus. And I hope we'll see that today. Who is this man? Jesus was a man of compassion. And if we want to be like Jesus, we will learn to be people of compassion as well. So last week, Linwood broke some rules, all right? He said that he was going to give a four-point sermon, and that's what he did. And I just want to say out loud, there are no such rules, all right? No such rules. In fact, if you've been a part of CCW very long, you know that we have a preaching rotation. We've got a team of ministers here that love you and pastor and teach from the stage on any given Sunday. And even if there were rules, they wouldn't follow them anyways. And we never know how long anybody's going to go. But today I would like you to walk away with one thing. One thing. Maybe two things. Okay, but one thing. And that is this. The way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is to see people, including you, including yourself, to see people through the eyes of God. And to love people with the heart of God. And that we would serve people with the hands of God. We talk about compassion. That's what it's all about. So what is compassion? When I say that word, what comes into your mind? I mean, what kind of, you know, what is compassion? Well, the dictionary defines it this way. Compassion is suffering with another, which is interesting because a lot of times when we think about compassion, we think about somebody being healed or somebody being helped. No, compassion is suffering with someone. The sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortunes of another. Pity. Maybe you've heard that word. It's actually an emotion, a heartfelt thing. Now, in the scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament defines compassion with all kinds of different words. I think there's 13 different words, but they have one central idea. The word for compassion refers to the inward parts. Literally, it means your stomach, your bowels. Like, that's what the Old Testament word for that means. Now, what it's talking about is the stomach. It means, like, we might use the word gut or heart. So we feel this emotion in our stomach, you know, or you might say to somebody, I love you with all of my, don't use the Old Testament version, okay? You don't want to go, I love you with all of my bowels, okay? That's not gonna go over too good, all right? But I love you with all of my heart. It's talking about a feeling. It's the center of emotion. All right, that's aroused by another one's pain. Compassion. And the really cool thing about this characteristic of compassion, this way of Jesus, is that it is a primary characteristic of God himself. It's who he is. It's how he is. You see, our God is persistently described as compassionate, as someone who suffers with us, who feels for us. That's our God. That's how he's described throughout the Bible. You might think of examples like I do when he showed himself to Moses, the book of Exodus 34:6. God describes himself this way. The Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God is compassionate and merciful. You need to know those two words are interchangeable in the Old and the New Testament, compassion and mercy. The Lord God is compassionate and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in faithfulness and truth. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Slow to anger, abounding in faithfulness and truth. And later, King David would echo those words in a prayer song for God's people, Psalm 86:15. David writes, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abundant in mercy and truth." That's the God we've been singing to this morning, God of compassion. And as we sing and as we experience and as we come to know God, we understand that this is the whole thing about compassion. He cares. God cares. Getting our heads around this is tough. But if you came in this morning maybe thinking that God is some kind of puppet master or, you know, some kind of clockmaker, like he's just kind of in heaven watching over us and, you know, it doesn't care about you and the small things and details in your life, that is not the God of the scriptures. Our God is a compassionate God who shows compassion for his creation, all creation, and for his people. It's emotional. He feels for us. It's seen all through the biblical narrative. From Adam and Eve in the garden to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, through the times of the Exodus and the judges and the prophets and the kings, we see a compassionate God. Thank God that he's compassionate or he'd have wiped them all out. How many times? We got a compassionate God. We see it into the life of Jesus and into the early church and all through history and in this room today. We know that it's true. So if there is a second point, it's this. God cares about you. God cares about you, the person sitting in your chair and the person sitting around you and the person you're going to experience later in your day. He has compassion for you. And if we need proof of this, then all we need to do is look at the way himself, Jesus, to look at the life of Christ. Jesus, the Christ, the living word of God who came from heaven to earth to live a perfect life before our eyes, who died as a perfect sacrifice on the cross for your sins and mine, and after 3 days was risen from the dead to prove that he was God. The Jesus, the Christ, God in the flesh, the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to get to the Father, to eternal life. Jesus, who is perfect, the perfect human living example of our compassionate God. So, did Jesus live a life of compassion? What do you think? Did he live a life of compassion? I would challenge you to answer that question by looking at the scriptures. Why do you say that? Well, let's take a look real quick back at the life of Jesus, especially in this book. Now, we see it all through the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But obviously, for our series, we're going to be looking at the book of Mark. So if you have that, get your fingers ready to kind of browse through here. We're going to start in chapter 1, and we see Jesus, just an example. It's all through here. We see Jesus moving physically and emotionally to show compassion. Jesus feels something, and in chapter 1, we start seeing it. I don't want to open a can of worms here, but I'm think about this. Okay, I'm going to go for it. See, this is an important discussion because, again, we think of compassion. Sometimes we think of healing. We think, oh, God's got, like, Jesus is what we need to see here as we look through the life of Christ is Jesus not just healing, but caring. That he spoke to people, that he touched people, that no one else would talk to and no one else would touch. That he wanted to be with people. And it's very obvious as we go through the book of Mark even, that Jesus did not heal everybody. But because he healed some people, it shows us that he cares about all people. So just kind of think about that as we look through this. He was moved physically and emotionally to show compassion. I mean, look at what he does with Peter's mother-in-law. Verse 31, he takes her by the hand and lifts her up and heals her. Peter's mother-in-law. Verse 41, we see Jesus moved, not just physically as he entered into his mother-in-law's home and reached out and touched her, but verse 41, we see Jesus moved with emotional force, with pity to a person who was an untouchable outcast, a leper, all right? And he touched him and he spoke to him and he healed him physically, emotionally. And as he does this, we quickly start taking notice and through the book of Mark that Jesus was a man of compassion for all people, that no one was excluded in this. And we look through Mark, we see the 16 chapters in a society, and y'all might know this, a society which with a defined religious and cultural and economic and racial and sexual caste system. People were valued based on the family they were born in and where they came from and what they believed. This was a very important thing. Jesus showed compassion to everyone, to Jews and all races of Gentiles, to religious leaders and to sinners, to men and to women, to rich and poor, to disciples and outcasts, to sick and healthy. Jesus was a man of compassion for everyone, for all people. And he had a purpose for it. There was a reason for showing this compassion. This was his way. It was to point people to the kingdom of God and to live on the mission of God. See, Jesus wasn't just a nice guy with superpowers who, you know, in a mercy spirit. I mean, he was a nice guy with superpowers and a mercy spirit, but that wasn't his purpose. He came to earth to seek and to save the lost, to die for the sins of all mankind, and to bring eternal life through his resurrection. Compassion was his way of doing that. And that way, by the way, took him to the cross. He had a purpose for showing compassion. All we need to really do is to see this man of compassion is look back through the last few weeks of our teaching series through the lens of compassion. A few weeks ago, Josh, amazing teaching. He taught us how Jesus was a man of revelation. Y'all remember that? Revelation, how he taught, even using parables. What we need to see there is Jesus taught the truth in love with compassion. When he taught the parables, it was with a compassionate heart for people. In Luke chapter 15 and chapter 19, Jesus even gives parables with compassion as the focal point. The Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, some of our favorite parables in scripture, and the focal point was the compassion of God. 2 weeks ago, Chris, amazing message. He showed us how Jesus was a man of Help me out. Power. Yeah, power. Like Jesus is a man of power. Mark chapter 4 and 5, they're filled with stories of Jesus's power, and he's compassionately healing people. In fact, he heals a woman who has bled for 12 years. He raises a Jewish religious leader's daughter from the dead. His name was Jairus. And then he releases demons from this possessed man named Legion. There's a reason we know these people's names. Jesus cared for them. He reached out to them. Last week, Linwood, he taught us from Mark chapter 6 and 7 that Jesus was a man who breaks barriers. And I'd like to point out that all along the way, as Jesus broke those barriers, he did so with compassion. In fact, in spite of those barriers, he showed compassion through the crowds, in his culture, in the urgent, even with the traditions that were happening around him, Jesus showed compassion. My favorite example of the ones Linwood brought us to last week is when Jesus fed the 5,000. He's going to feed 4,000 more in just a few minutes, but he feeds 5,000 people. Mark chapter 6:34 tells us, this is what Mark says, Jesus saw the great crowd and had compassion. He saw the great crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. If you just imagine for a moment, Jesus looking at the people, his heart just racing for them, aching for them. The Beatitudes, Jesus' famous sermons, he teaches us that blessed are the merciful. Again, that word is compassionate. Luke 6:36, he says to be compassionate, even as your Father is compassionate. This isn't just an idea. It's a command. Be compassionate. So for the next couple minutes, I want to zero in on Mark chapter 7 and chapter 8 for this little sample pack, if you will, of the compassion of Jesus. I just want to look a little bit deeper at this man and the way that God shows compassion in these chapters. Mark 7:24 through 8:28. The first thing we see here is a story of a Syrophoenician woman. Y'all there? Mark 7:24. What happens here is Jesus enters a house secretly, and immediately this woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit hears about Jesus and comes to him and falls down at his feet. Falls down at his feet. A little awkward, okay? He's trying to get away, and here she comes in. Verse 26. Both women and Gentile. His disciples would have been like, what is she doing in here? Like, no women and a Gentile. This is what? This doesn't make any sense. And Mark says she was a Syrophoenician by birth. So you see these barriers being broke already, and Jesus, and she just crashes right into the scene, and she begs him. She falls at his feet and begs him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Daughter's possessed. Jesus, please. And he says to her, again, just turning this woman and speaking to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, it's a whole nother teaching. We're not going to get in that this morning. It's a Jew and Gentile thing. Jesus had a point for saying that. But she answers him. Again, what? Like, she answers him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And verse 29, Jesus said to her, he didn't have to answer, but he did. For this statement, you can go your way. If we stop there, it would seem like Jesus said, leave, right? But he says this, go your way, the demon has left your daughter. And she went home and found the child laying in the bed. The demon was gone. That's compassion. Verse 31, very next story. Later, he's in the region of Decapolis. Some people brought to Jesus a man who was deaf and he had a speech impediment. And they begged him, this guy's friends or whoever was with him, begged him to lay his hands on him. Taking him aside, again, as you see Jesus doing this, takes him aside privately, puts his fingers in his ears. If y'all know me, like, that's a no-no, all right? Like, I'm not even sure I let Jesus touch my ears, you know what I'm saying? But there's to touch this man, to reach out to this untouchable, this unclean, spit, and I don't know the deal with spitting and touching his tongue. I'll just be honest. If you guys know of a Jewish custom where you spit and touch somebody's face, I don't know how that works. But verse 34, he looks up to heaven and he sighs. Jesus sighs. Like, that word's groan. Like he is feeling this situation. He sighs and he says to him, "Ephphatha, be opened." And his ears were opened. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. The people there were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." You see it? Just compassion to a woman, to a Gentile, to a deaf man who beg him. That's one thing these two had in common. They came to Jesus and fell, and they begged him. They came to him, and all the people praised him, saying, "He has done all things well." Chapter 8, very next story. He feeds 4,000 people. I don't know if you're keeping score, but just in the last couple verses, we're up to about 10 grand. He's feeding people, all kinds of stuff going on. And it says, "In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. And he calls his disciples to him, and he says to them," verse 2, "I have what? I have what? Compassion." I'm feeling this situation here. "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat." Okay, these weren't just people just running up to Jesus asking for a hand. This speaks to me. These were people who are committed to following Jesus for one reason or another. They were in this. 3 days without eating. And he says in verse 3, "If I send them away hungry to their homes, they'll faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away." He cares. Verse 4, his disciples answer him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" If I could, I just want to interject here. Ask the question, is it possible that the desolate place is the very place that God will feed you and I? So he asks them, "How many loaves do you have?" 7. And he directs the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he takes 7 loaves and he gives thanks. Again, this is the way of Jesus. He gives thanks to God and he breaks them and he gave them to his disciples. The way of Jesus, he's delegating this. He's participating with them to set before the people, and they set them and then they set them before the crowd. Verse 7, and then they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, again, here's the way of Jesus. He blesses the fish and he says that these should also be set before them. And verse 8, they ate and were, if you got your Bibles open, just circle this, underline this. They ate and were what? Satisfied. They ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full, and there were about 4,000 people, and then he sends them away. And how did he send them away? Satisfied, full. He did not send them away empty. And it all started with his heart of compassion. I love that story. Jesus saw them with his eyes. He loved them in his heart. He cared for them in his heart. And then he served them with his hands. And they went away satisfied. Verse 11 through 20, we see this interesting story of Pharisees and his disciples. And Jesus, again, he's teaching the truth in love. And we see him when it comes to the Pharisees, he sighs deeply again. Jesus had this thing with sighing. It was pretty cool. And I think this was because, and it says here, he sighed deeply in the spirit. So he's feeling this compassion. He's groaning to God. He's feeling this and he's expressing to God. Perhaps, and I don't know that I'm reading between the lines here, but maybe the compassion here is what Jesus doesn't do with these Pharisees. What he doesn't say. Like maybe he's holding back a little bit. All right? So he gives them a lesson, and that lesson includes a no. He just kind of leaves them. And then right next door to this story, we see him patiently having a discussion with his disciples. two different groups of people. And I just gotta say here, his disciples, not their best moment right here. They have just witnessed him feeding 4,000 people. They get in a boat and they're kind of upset because all they have is a little bit of bread. It's like, what are we gonna do? We don't have enough to eat. And Jesus is like, are you serious, knuckleheads? Like, but he's patient with them. That's compassion. Blind man in Bethsaida, Mark chapter 8. They come to Bethsaida, very next story, and some people bring to Jesus a blind man and begged him, here we go again, begged him to touch him. So he takes the blind man by the hand and leads him out of the village, paying specific attention to this guy. Here goes again. He spits on his eyes. I don't even think he did the finger thing this time. He just spit on his eyes and laid hands on him. And he asks him face to face, do you see anything? The man looks up and says, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Jesus lays his hands on his eyes again, a second time. I personally don't think Jesus failed the first time, but it is kind of reassuring to know that sometimes it even takes Jesus twice. But there's also a message in this man's healing in that it didn't happen on the first time for him either. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. I just want to ask you to give Jesus another chance. Maybe you're not seeing very clearly, but maybe this is the day you'll allow him to touch you and open your eyes. Jesus lays his hands on his eyes again, and he opens his eyes, and his sight was restored. And he saw everything clearly. Catch this. His eyes, his hands, or his heart and his hands, all involved because Jesus has compassion on this person. He saw the blind man. And as a result, the blind man saw Jesus. Jesus, he saw the Gentile woman. He saw the deaf man. He saw the hungry crowd. Jesus saw the Pharisees and he saw his disciples. And you can be sure of this. Jesus sees you. He sees you and he sees you with compassion. The God of the universe cares. This is the way of Jesus. This is the way of Jesus, to see people through the eyes of God and then love them with the heart of God and then serve them as the hands of God. And this, y'all, this is where the Holy Spirit of God within us takes this feeling of compassion, to a whole nother level, into action. Colossians chapter 3, God says, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. See, this is where it moves from our eyes, from seeing people, to our hearts, to our stomach, to our innermost being, into action through our hands. We call these things acts of compassion. It's when we're moved to do something. And this was also the way of Jesus. It's what truly set his followers apart, by the way, for centuries. Beginning with the early church, we see his disciples grabbing a hold of the way of Jesus and doing it themselves. In fact, the word Christian became synonymous with the word compassion. And it's resulted in a world changed by Jesus. Because of the compassion of God's people, we have seen the establishment of public education and churches and schools and hospitals, places of refuge and protection for the oppressed, orphanages, missions to the poor, 12-step programs for the addicted, ministries of compassion for all people, no matter where they come from or where they're going in life. And it started with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and it continues today. Earlier to this morning, you met Mike and Karen Osborne. They helped bring the healing truth of God's word to all nations. It's a privilege to be able to do that for them. Many of you are involved in missions just like that, emotionally and physically. You give and you pray and you go. You're part of compassion missions like Celebrate Recovery here at CCW. You've given food boxes to the hungry. You've given toys to foster kids. You visit the prisons and the jails, and you build houses for the needy, and you volunteer in our schools. I could go on and on and on with the ways that we and you share the hope of Jesus to all people through acts of compassion. Praise God for that. Today you need to know this. God has compassion for you. It started with Jesus. Maybe you are here today because Jesus had compassion on them, they had compassion on you, and you are sitting here today and you need to hear this. God has compassion. He cares about you. He doesn't just care for you, he cares about you always. Jesus taught us this. In fact, he taught us this using birds and flowers in the field. Why do you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear? Don't you know that God cares? I don't know whether to share this or not, but I prayed about it and decided to go for it. So, because this is deeply personal, I think, with some of you here today, and it's deeply personal with me. Last Monday on my Sabbath day, it's when I take my Sabbath, just landed in my heart. I was sitting in silence, you know, waiting for the Lord, and to be honest with you, my mind is racing, and I'm a little bit anxious about the week ahead. I know I'm preaching, and I got a wedding, and all these other kind of things. And after some time of quiet, it just, all of a sudden, I heard them, the birds outside my window, like, chirping and singing in the flower bushes right outside, out of nowhere. And I was like, I get it. Like, you care about me. Like, God just saying to me, trust me. I care for those birds here. I care for you. And I'm opening my eyes, and I'm holding back tears, and I just... That's the God that knows you and knows me. Joe, I care for you. Trust me. And sure as I'm standing here, that chirping stopped. I can explain it. I'm not even going to try to explain it. I just know this. God cares for me. He knows me by name, and he knows you by name, and he has compassion on you, and he cares about you. God has compassion for you this morning. Great is his faithfulness. You know, if you need a bookmark verse for this, a bumper sticker verse, you don't probably need one, but God gives us his promise through the prophet Jeremiah, written, and again, this was written in a time of deep sorrow by the prophet. Jeremiah chapter 3, 22 through 26. He says, the Lord's acts of mercy, do not end. His compassions do not fail. It never ends. They are new every morning. His compassions are new every morning. They were new yesterday morning. They were new this morning. And if God wills and we live, they will be new tomorrow. His compassions never end and they do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, Jeremiah says. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I wait for him. The Lord is good to those who wait him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. God cares about you. He cares about your life. He cares about your salvation. So today, my prayer would be that you know it. Know it, know it, know it. And if you're wondering, maybe something you could do this week is just take 15 minutes to go away somewhere and be silent. Reflect on the compassion of God for you and your life. Think about all the places you've been and where God has brought you to. Think about where you ought to be if God hadn't stepped in with his compassion in your life. Reflect on those things. It is love that moves God, the loving compassion of God. Just take the time to do that this week. And don't just know it, but show it. Again, eyes to our heart, to our hands. Be compassionate, Jesus said, even as your Father is compassionate. So I want to just challenge you to find one way. Maybe you're just going to wing it, man. Maybe it'll just come into your mind. You'll just do it. But I'll challenge you to find one way to perform a loving act of compassion this week. If you need to plan it out, plan it out. Think of the name of someone, the place, the time, what you'll do, and purposely move into that situation. And when you do that, don't you dare take credit for it. He has done all things well. Now, he's going to use you, but you give God the glory. Give him the praise, and you might not even have to say anything at all. And today, maybe today you've come here and you're a little bit anxious. Or like the desperate, the Syrophoenician woman. You have a need, but you feel like an outsider. If you're going to come to Jesus, it's going to be laying at his feet because you don't even know if you're able to do that. Maybe you have a need, but you feel like an outsider. Or maybe you're here like the deaf man and you need your ears to be opened by Jesus. Or maybe you're having trouble speaking. Like you want to say the words, but you just, maybe Jesus needs to open your mouth this morning. Maybe it's possible that you're hungry and you're in that desolate place and you're here for food. Food only Jesus can provide. Spiritual food. Maybe like the Pharisees and the disciples, your mind is still trying to figure out who Jesus is. Or like the blind man, you long for your eyes to be opened to see Jesus. God cares about you. He cares about you. And today I promise you, you do not have to go home unheard by Jesus. You don't have to go home deaf or blind or hungry today. God has compassion on you. He aches for you. He aches for you to know him. His heart longs for you to find forgiveness and freedom and life through his son Jesus. He longs for you to have eternal life with him in heaven forever. That's why Jesus came. That's why the way of compassion, the way of Jesus is so important. It's what it's all about. It's what put him on the cross for you and for me. So if you want to experience the compassion of Jesus in your life today, come to him. Come to him, begging if you must. At the end of our service, our prayer team will be up here. If you're one of our ministers or elders and you'd like, come on up and we'll be here to join you. And if today, maybe that day that you want to be baptized into Christ and leave here brand new in him, you can do that today as well. And if you do, if you would come and lay down your life at his feet, I stand here with millions of people before me and hundreds before me in this room today. And those who spoke out in the presence of Jesus, he does all things well. He does all things well. And what he has began in your life, and your day will come. It may come today or tomorrow, but it will certainly come in eternity with him. That is the God, that is the way of Jesus, the man of compassion. Trust in Jesus with your life. And he will not send you away empty. Let's stand together. We praise you for your compassion on our lives. Because your Holy Spirit just reminds us of your compassion. And Holy Spirit, you move us. You don't leave us to just feel this. You're there reminding us and helping us to understand it and feel it. It's so important to recognize your presence in us. Thank you. Thank you for or a missionary that we're thinking of, maybe, I don't, you move us to pray for them and to love them. And then every now and then, you move us to not just see it and feel it, but to do something about it. So today I pray, God, that you would just wash over this church body, people in this room, people that are watching, that God, as we leave this place today, that we would not just understand and feel that compassion, but that we would act on it, give you glory for it. And Father, I pray that you would start right now in this place. That there might be someone in this place right here today that is feeling the compassion, that is moved by compassion to a lifelong, eternal, long commitment to you, that they would walk with you as Lord and Savior and King of their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's sing.